Welcome, fans of the Justice League universe. My name is Sam, and I am going solo on this episode. I'm going to try to just give my audio commentary to the movie Black Adam from 2022. And this will kind of bring us into the last sort of phase of the DCEU, and it will add to our series here of all the full audio commentaries for these movies. I'm going to try this out solo. We'll see how it goes, see if I have things to say, and let's just get right into it. So if you want to synchronize with me, I'm watching it on Blu-ray. I'm at the 17-second mark, and where I am is the WB logo came in first, looked nice, had some lightning sparkle going on. After the WB logo, the New Line Cinema logo starts to go into place, and I paused it right when the New Line Cinema logo takes its position and a little bit of sunlight comes through the upper holes in the New Line Cinema, so that's at the 17-second mark. And we'll do 3-2-1 play to try to watch it together if you want to. So 3-2-1 play. Here we go into Black Adam, a movie that was a long time coming. Dwayne The Rock Johnson, big fan of Black Adam, looks kind of like Black Adam, had committed to the character years earlier, and it wasn't till 2022 that this movie finally came out together as part of the DCEU. Might not talk too much about the drama of Dwayne Johnson and his group kind of trying to take over leadership of the DCEU. This movie did okay. It made, I don't know, almost $400 million against a $200-something million budget. Not good enough to give the keys to the kingdom over to Dwayne Johnson. But let's take a look into the movie. So this is Khandaq, famous fictionalized Middle Eastern sort of country, maybe North African sort of country in the DC fictional universe. And we're back in time here. Ancient times, some nice weapon design, production design here. Interesting scarring there, making almost kind of like the pentagram signal, giving us a sense that this might not be wholesome characters here. And we're getting kind of a comic book classic thing here where we're starting with like some backstory and some historical context that will matter later and kind of setting up a villain before, you know, we meet like the protagonists and the main characters we're going to be following. So happens in quite a few comic books. It's fairly effective. This is some interesting design with those folks around there. I like the dustiness of this sort of scene, how there's kind of the color is gone, the sandy texture is really coming through, and that will return to it a lot with these flashbacks where we really get this gritty, sandy color. It also makes that pop out. The blue rock really stands out in the harshness of this environment. Eternium. Also adds to the long line of fictional universes that have these fictional materials that are very special, very prized after. Makes me think of unobtainium from Avatar, or there's Marvel Universe has some things that are important like that. This is Eternium. So here we can tell, very important, that this guy found it. Now, this little kid taking some real leadership stance here. Shows the kindness of the kid. Now, even though it's in a different language, and usually when movies just have foreign languages, I usually just feel like the actors are all really, really good because I don't know the language, and so all the line delivery sounds totally authentic. But here, the kid still seems like he's acting rather than really embodying the role. And that will be one of my critiques of this movie, is the child actors don't quite bring it as, oh, okay. King thanks you for your service. And into the pit, a little bit of a 300 look there. So shows the brutal regime. But yeah, I'll comment more on the child actors. It's always challenging. Sometimes the kids can really bring it. In this movie, I don't think the child actors quite nailed it as much as I would have hoped for. But you saw there too, like that kid, that's kind of heartbreaking. The kid was trying to help the old man. You think it's a good thing that he found that stuff. And he actually was just helping walk that old man to his death. He's kind of making this good point here. If we all rose together, we could overthrow the king. But it's pretty tough. Stop dreaming, go back to work. Now, they kind of hid the face of the father there. That'll come back later. But you can kind of recognize the silhouette a little bit. More heroes. Okay, this will be setting up a theme. bit of a theme about like what do you do when you're in the oppressed group? You know, there's more of you, but how do you get together? How can you actually overthrow the powerful folks that are holding you down? And this kid basically is just rejecting his role as the subservient. He has the Eternium, sets up this kind of logo or a hand signal that'll be a kind of a callback sort of thing. Wow, pretty good landscape there. So now the hand's going up, symbol of solidarity amongst the oppressed there. And this is cool too. It's kind of like, how did legends begin? You know, witnesses saw something happen, like he disappeared, and it's interesting to think about how that legend will take shape over time. But here is a recognizable spot for us. So in the DCEU, we have some connections here to the wizards. And at this point, they're all still around. Not just the one wizard left, but the whole council of wizards is still there. I like how he's calling for it and won't even get out of his throne to get it. He's like, just bring it to me. King Akhtan. Okay, so he's getting the evil power from the crown. So I like this here where the details of the fight are not shown. They're kind of just part of the legend, which also makes sense. Like the eyewitnesses would not have seen. Okay, coming to present day. I like Bullet with Butterfly Wings. A good song from Smashing Pumpkins. But it's cool to see the actual remnants of that temple still there, but now the modern city around it. And it's even more than a modern city. Like there's more technological stuff than we're used to. So it's current time, but there's some extra technology going. All right, so here comes the main child actor. And let me get his name here real quick. Who's this guy? I didn't remember it, as you can tell. It is Mohammed Amer, I think. Oh, wait, no. He does the uncle. Why is he not on the main list of characters? Oh, here we go. Bodhi Sabangui is playing Amon. So, I like the juxtaposition here. From the opening to this, it's like ancient versions of oppression and slavery to modern versions of oppression. Some DC Comics there. But, like, this is what it looks like now. You know, we have cars, we have technology, we have clothing, we have all that stuff, but it's actually still the same thing of a ruling power that has the weapons, that has the physical force, and then people that are being held down and pushed down. And just to see it in direct juxtaposition, I think, is really effective. And it'll feed into one of the main themes of the movie here about the oppressed rising up and people uniting and having solidarity to rise up against the elites. I like this too. It's a nice little move of distraction. To me, it's kind of believable that just getting that guard and that checkpoint, getting them distracted where they're not really focusing with as much attention to what's going on in front of them. To me, it was believable as a way to get the van through the checkpoint. All right. So Adriana was hiding in the back. I like the color here. It's got this cool teal tint to it, but the oranges pop out nicely off the skin. Orange and teal, kind of a good contrasting color pair. So that's kind of some foreshadowing that they're kind of pulling one over on them, but they're not going to get away with it for long. And now here we see, oh, it was actually all folks that know each other. Intergang is the one pressing here. This isn't always what I thought of Intergang as in the comics, but I could buy this as a DCEU version of Intergang and go with that. It's good though, they're showing the little connection here, trying to get us a little bit bonded between the characters and seeing that there's connections between the characters, so that we are sort of starting to keep track of, okay, who are we going to be following and what's their relationship to each other. Kind of showing they're driving quite a ways out of the city here. Now, right away, we can recognize the blue sheen of the Eternium. And then get it called out immediately that that's some expensive, important stuff. That also is showing more about Inner Gang. They're not just doing checkpoints and stuff, but they've actually taken things from the culture. Which is, you know, that relates to a lot of real-world stuff of, like, the European powers that really took a lot of artifacts and valuables and stuff from all over the world when they colonized. And one thing I like about this movie is that it doesn't take place in Europe or in the United States, in the Western actual places. It takes place in another part of the world, and it really tries to center the experiences of people there, like in the Middle East, Northern Africa, that sort of zone. I'll probably comment on that more as it goes. All right, so we had the ancient form of oppression, modern form of oppression. We had the ancient form of mining and stuff, and now we have the current version of mining and technology for digging and that sort of thing. So I like so it wasn't just a flashback for, like, setting up a villain or a plot. It also is showing you, like, no, we're wanting the audience to think about how things were in the past, how things are different now, but they're kind of the same. Like, even centuries later, there's some things that are sort of still the same. Okay, we get a little bit of a motivation there for Adriana and her son. They're trying to see if they can find a way out of their situation. This is interesting too here. Like, right now, he's bad kneecap. He's avoiding going to do the work, but then later he's going to be very centrally involved in a lot of the action, and kind of he's going to step up later in the movie. But this is a good setup for that, where he's first just drinking and soda or something and sitting in his van. So the director, I should say before too long, the director is Jaume Calet Serra. He's Spanish, Spanish-American. He's worked a lot with Liam Neeson. He's worked before with Dwayne Johnson on Jungle Cruise, I think it was. Is that right? Yeah, Jungle Cruise. I think the director did a good job on a lot of the nuts and bolts of the movie. Like, a lot of the scenes look good. Production design's good. I think, though, there's just some story elements that didn't quite grab me all the way. And like I said, the child actors, which can be tough, I don't think he got the best performance out of the child actors, which did take me out of the movie a little bit at times. And there's also just something, too, with the director working with the writing team, which is Adam Stizkiel, Rory Haynes, and Sohrab Noshirvani, which I think they had some good, like, bones to the story, but I don't know if they brought it to full effect. I do like this character, though, and I think he's probably an audience favorite in a lot of ways. And, oh my goodness, Samir's down, and we don't quite see what happened to him. Oh, Samir looks in bad shape. Oh, and he's... No. Okay, so right now we're like, were they followed? How do they know? You know, but we might start to suspect somebody's betraying him, because something happened to Samir pretty bad. Okay, Ishmael looks pretty creepy there. So the director, too, call it Sarah, he's done horror movies in the past, and so even just the general creepiness here, probably he's drawing on some of his horror skills as a director. But again, I feel like the lighting has been pretty good. The different settings all have their own kind of lighting scheme, and it works pretty well. The flashlights are looking good on the stone there. It's a tomb. So who did the cinematography? Lawrence Sher did the cinematography, Sher. So far, he's got it looking pretty good. He did Garden State, The Dictator, The Hangover series. So he did some comedies before this. The cinematographer, Lawrence Sher, he's worked with Todd Phillips of Joker fame. Oh, he was the cinematographer of Joker. I had not made that connection before. So yeah, I mean, it's good looking from a photography, cinematography point of view. Okay, so this right away we recognize from the opening. It's the crown, and Ishmael seems particularly interested by it. It's interesting too how it's hovering. Oh, that's a nice shot. The hovering. If you're not really careful about how you frame that hovering, it can just look silly, or it can kind of just blend in with the background. But they did a really nice job from three different angles so far, four different angles, showing the hovering really well. So we're seeing some determination, some bravery here from Adriana. Getting a little bit of clues about character traits and stuff. Oh, looks like the magic sort of turned off when it's no longer in the hovering zone. So Adriana is played by Sarah Shahi. I think she does a good job in this movie. Oh, so if you were suspecting Ishmael, he just got punched in the face, so you might be thinking, nope, it was just that Inner Gang followed him somehow. There's a few times in this movie that they try to do these little misdirects where there's a little bit of a, you're not supposed to be sure about it, but then they reveal later. The first one is here with Ishmael being the one turning him in. We can kind of grade each of them on how effective we think they were about the misdirect or the twist. I think some of them are pretty effective, some of them not quite as much. You let them get the one. So this, I'm liking the uncle character, and I imagine he's kind of audience favorite. So far to this point, he seems kind of lame and like a coward, but that'll make it even better later when he steps forward and does the stuff he needs to do. So they've got the crown now in that suitcase. I think we'll try to track that. So now she's a professor. She knows the old language and stuff like that, and she's reading it off the ground. Ooh. So this is pretty a nice way, I think, to get that back. Like, it's not just stumbling in there and then reading it. It was no, like, it's like she's surrounded. All she can really do is look at her surroundings and call out. I like this, too, that the same time that they get the crown, they also release Black Adam. So it's kind of like the fight is continuing from before. Like, as one power comes in, the other power also comes in. So you never have one without the other, which I think is kind of nice. Okay. So we know Dwayne the Rock Johnson, a nice little cloak starting in the dark lump. Last of the line, buddy. So they've had a couple little humor moments here, which I think is okay, because they've done the humor before we get to the real intense action. So I think it's, so far the humor is well chosen. And both of them I thought were pretty funny, like with the, that was a fast move. Okay, so now we kind of get the first action beat here. Oh my. The slow head turn into the lightning. And again, the horror influence coming through here. And it's not just seeing the body fried, it's also the reaction shots. And the skull. Okay, so that's a pretty good character entrance. Strength, lightning, can catch a bullet. It's not worried at all about the gunfire. Your magic is weak. And then the power of flight. So we're kind of getting introduced to several of Black Adam's powers here. So the crown was hovering, and now Black Adam is hovering, and actually up into the same position almost. A very quick action here, like quick bursts of movement. Ooh, through the rock. The rock goes through the rock. Okay, that's where she grabs the suitcase. Okay, they see her seeing it, but of course we assume she grabs it. Okay, that was that was good. So he throws the body, which was a pretty good fast throw, but then realizing he threw it so fast it even pulled his arm off. Oh, she took the crown out of the suitcase. Yeah. Interesting that he would even check on the inside. Maybe he could feel it wasn't heavy enough or that there's nothing inside of it, so he opened to check. She's still trying to help Ishmael. Okay, Black Adam just saved her. Make a little bit of eye contact. little bit of a thank you for her calling him out, getting him out of his sleep. I like the floating. That'll be something that kind of goes throughout the movie. Like when he's fighting, Black Adam can go very fast, but when he's just moving, he does a very deliberate, graceful, smooth float. And that seemed like a very clear choice of the visual language for Black Adam. And it does make his flight different than Superman's in this universe. Like Superman kind of leans and would kind of fly forward. Black Adam just sort of floats upright where he goes. So I like that they gave him a different visual language for their flight. Another little head raise, slow head raise. Good lighting on the skin there. Now we're out into the sunlight, so the dark to light. But Black Adam's going to kind of come from the dark to the light here. Not for nothing, she's got the crown. I like the van versus that, you know, assault vehicle. Okay, we got Black Adam floating next to the helicopters floating, and we get it's good to have this little preparatory moment where we sort of wonder what's going to happen and build up some anticipation. It's good. They're looking. Where did he go? Right next to him. Oh, there's a swearmer. Okay, message. Oh my. Okay, so at this point, Black Adam is just... he's been pretty brutal all the way through. And this is the thing, too, where you're kind of like, okay, he's not your normal hero. He's just laying waste to anybody that's around here. And he can't really know exactly like who he's dealing with. But they're shooting at him, so he's like, well, if you're shooting at me, I'm just going to take you out. But he doesn't really know the modern dynamics of this group, inter-gang versus anybody else. But I guess it's fair enough if they're shooting right at him that he can respond. Okay, I think this is Rolling Stones Black. Not a big Rolling Stones fan, but I can see why they couldn't resist having this song. Rolling Stones, I just always feel like their music sounds like a rough draft of music instead of like final versions of it. The singing's not that great, and even the instruments on Rolling Stones I feel like are just not quite polished and refined, but I know that's kind of their style, but it just doesn't quite work for me. Oh boy. Okay, that was a grenade right in the mouth. Power slap. I'm going slow-mo here. It's slow-mo, but it's pretty good because there's lots of sparks, lots of action happening. Like there's a lot to take in. A slight redirect of the missile. So they're visually giving us a lot to take in, and so it is nice to have the slow-mo. And he has it all set up. It kind of reminds me of Sonic the Hedgehog, where Sonic will go through the bar and set up a lot of things, and then at the end it's like, boom, they all happen. And that's kind of what that was. I think Sonic was a little bit before this, though. Let's see, when did the first Sonic the Hedgehog movie come out? Yeah, that was in 2020, and this one's 2022. Black Adam's a little more violent than Sonic, but... okay, so the action's done now, and they put some bits in the action. Now, this is afterward. I'm definitely fine with the comic relief after an action sequence to sort of release the tension. And this one, to me, I thought was good, was rolling up the window. Some people are like, okay, as if rolling up your window is going to do anything. It's like, yeah, but you would still roll up your window because it's the only thing you have to do. Did he just catch a rocket? That's a good line. Good line delivery, too. Eternium. So he sees that. And that's also for us to know that it's not just a regular rocket. This is why this one might actually be able to hurt him. It's laced with Eternium. Eternium? Hand on the glass. All right, the robe is off. That guy is totally vaporized. And it did hurt him a little bit. So he's not totally invulnerable. Eternium has the ability to do some damage. So right now we're thinking this is the champion from the prequel, the prelude. And we think, or we're supposed to think, that the champion was the young boy. Because as far as we know, that was the last we saw, was that the young boy was the champion. And then we think maybe that young boy who was kind of a hero, trying to be a hero to the oppressed slaves, maybe he's back in this form. You're the electrician. All right, so this is some pretty good intergang tech here. You got these little like fly bikes. All right, here's where we get the first twist reveal that it was Ishmael, and he's saying that that punch was just part of the act. So not only was Ishmael, did he betray them, but also he even betrayed that dude. Like, he's not helping him, he just shoots him. So, like, Ishmael's he's on the bad team, and he's also a really bad guy on the bad team. And it's like, when you can't trust somebody, you really can't trust them. All right. Now we get our introduction to Hawkman. So he's watching a lot of coverage, seeing some things going on, and something important has happened in Kondak. And Amanda Waller. So again, tying some things together with the DCU. And they're saying that this new character, Black Adam, it's dangerous, we've got to have him under control. He's been asleep for 5,000 years. So it's cool how Waller already knows a lot about Black Adam. She's sort of all-knowing, especially when it comes to potential villains or potential people with powers. Hawkman, played by Aldis Hodge. Here, we're getting our introduction to Cyclone, which is Quintessa Swindell. I mentioned, too, that I like with this movie that it takes place in other parts of the world, like, fully, and not U.S.-centric. Also like it here that we've had a lot of characters introduced, and they've all been people of color of different types, different backgrounds. So we're setting up a lot of the movie without it being based on, you know, white point of view, that sort of thing. Now here we are going to get a few white characters. We got Atom Smasher. So we've got the original Atom Smasher talking to the new Atom Smasher. So the Fonz is officially part of the DCEU, if anybody's interested. But the new Atom Smasher is played by Noah Centineo. And then we get a white British guy as well, Pierce Brosnan, of course. Pretty cool to get Pierce Brosnan in here. And he surpassed my expectations. I wasn't like a huge Pierce Brosnan fan. I thought he's fine. But then in this movie, I actually really liked his performance and the way that they wrote his character. So it's going to be one of the Hawkman, Dr. Fate sort of dynamics is going to be one of my highlights of the movie. All right. Amanda Waller saying good luck. All right. Hawkman. We get a look at his costume. So first we're seeing people out of costume, but some of them have their costumes nearby. Okay, so this is another, you know, moment that's set up where the audience is sort of thinking one thing, and then by the end there'll be a twist to it. But that was the first glimpse of looked like something bad happening to Hawkman. So we are 27 minutes in now. And that's when our first white characters are kind of coming, which to me is actually a strength of the movie, that we've got a lot of movies that are from the white point of view or with white lead characters, and I like that this movie centers it in setting and in most of the characters from other backgrounds, especially because one of the themes of the movie is about the oppression, which was usually done by the European countries or white dominant countries colonizing the rest of the world. Justice Society. I was very curious, like, how much of the general audience really knows Justice League versus Justice Society, or if they just view that as a confusing mix of justice things. I never really fully followed up on what the general audience thought about that. I think they were probably fine with it, but if this movie had been bigger, like a big smash hit, that probably would have been more of a topic of conversation of general audience saying, it's a Justice Society, how different is that from Justice League, and what's the history of the difference between those two, which has, you know, gone a lot of different ways in the comics. But so they've got their own technology. So we've seen, like, Inner Gang is pretty technologically advanced, but also the Justice Society is very technologically advanced, and the group's coming together. Maxine and Al. Now, totally different color scheme here. The pinks and the blues. Kind of fluorescent colors coming through strong. And now the mansion here in the gardens is more of like the, oh yeah, these folks are from the colonizers, not the colonized. Justice Society jet. Now we got the flashback again. So this is flashing back to what we already saw, the hand signal, the killing blow. So there again, he's Black Adam. Whoa. Black Adam was dreaming that. And so we could think that he was dreaming it from the point of view of the kid. We'll find out later. Okay. So this is the... Superman. Forgot about that part. So he's totally decked out with DC comic stuff. I see a new 52 Superman. Looks like Jim Lee version, maybe. Aquaman back there. He's zapping himself. Okay. He's going to heal his wound. Oh, that's a cool, like, Superman red and blue. I'm on. Okay, so this is, we were talking before about legends. Because there were the witnesses and stuff, that becomes a legend passed on. So still here, it's their local legend, you know, it's from their own past. So he says, you're Teth Adam, recognizing him from the legends. So this is probably his first time seeing what he looks like with the Shazam powers, you know, with the wizard's powers, powers of Shazam. Because back then, it wouldn't have been easy to see a reflection of yourself, probably. Okay, so just like Waller, we got the 5,000 number. That's how far we've jumped forward. Oh yeah, but what I was saying is that this dynamic between Black Adam and Amon is like the core of the movie. And it's the part that like maybe seems like it should have worked on paper, but to me did not quite work. Like that relationship was not like the perfect chemistry, was not singing, you know, like at like a great movie sort of level. I think it worked for like fine for a good movie or an adequate movie. But for this movie to reach higher levels would have needed the Black Adam and the Amon relationship and the acting in there and that chemistry to be, I think, better. All right, we've got the crown. He's just hanging out. Oh, so I recently rewatched the Dollars trilogy. I'll have to look for some connections between that and why they thought to bring that one in. Another SH word I didn't realize, yeah. Defeated King Acton. Okay, so the statue is the statue of Teth Adam. Yep, so they're explicitly kind of saying the oppression has just... There's been different forms of oppression, different groups oppressing, but they've been oppressed for a long history. But I think here it's kind of like they're talking too directly about, like, the themes and the ideas. It's almost like they're hitting it on the nose instead of having more subtle things. Now, visually, just him walking through the wall and just pushing the couch, I like the visual gag there and him just being like, whatever, I'll just walk through. But the dialogue with Amon, I feel like maybe was just too on the nose. It's like they're just seeing each other and they're immediately talking about the history and the blah, 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 and the things that have to be said. And I don't know. Okay. That was cool. It was like a quick draw. Like right as Clint Eastwood's character, Man with No Name, was pulling out the draw, Black Adam pulls out his draw of lightning. Nice little thing. Oh, so when he saved her from the boulder falling, he might not have known for sure that she was the one that saved him. Or maybe he knew both times and just he's saying it out loud now. So they're trying to definitely go for something here where Black Adam is like speaking more formally and more with an old style. That's definitely, I think, one of the things they tried to go for in the script was to have like Black Adam be totally out of place and from a different time, and then gradually he starts to take on and figure out like the current culture. But it's just a little, to me, it just comes across a little awkwardly, like they didn't quite nail it. I know what they were going for, and maybe I can just try to give them some leeway that that's what they were going for. But all right, so here that's kind of like, what are they hoping from Black Adam? They're hoping he'd be the champion that would help free them. And he's just like, yeah, that's not his thing yet. And you can't really blame him, because they've been living with this oppression their whole life, and they've been trying to work towards, you know, freedom or something, a resistance. But for him, he just got woken up after 5,000 years, so he's not part of their fight yet, really. I don't know if he would have, like, I've got young boys. I'm not sure if they would have roller skated for 3 feet before they went down the stairs. I think they would have just carried it down the stairs. Okay, so again, these are the moments where if these worked, it would make the whole movie really tie together, because this is them talking and him saying, you need a new name, you need a catchphrase. And then later we have the callbacks to the catchphrase, and then finally get the catchphrase at the end. So like, if that thread was working, it would tie this whole movie together better. But for me, it just doesn't quite work in the chemistry between those two folks. I can't put my finger on whether it's the script. I think it's more the acting. But it could be the script a little bit of what they're asking them to do is just too fast, too on the nose, maybe. But I do really like this city setting. Like, I really got a sense of a place from that city, and that it is a different part of the world. It feels very lived in, feels very vibrant. So there's some good stuff happening. All right, Justice Society is concerned about this new power that has been awakened. So I like the Hawkman dynamics with Dr. Fate. I like how there's this sense that they've been together, they've been through a lot, they have a respect for each other, a little bit of ribbing for each other. So I like a lot of this part. Yeah. Now this one to me is an example of chemistry working between the people. Bad plan is better than no plan at all. So you kind of get the feeling that that's going to be a callback later. I like the helmet. The helmet design, I think, is great. Looks very shiny, looks very magical, looks cool, but it's also cool that it's kind of dented. It's, you know, it's been through some stuff. A little bit scratched up, but still has that nice sheen to it. I like it too that it's the other characters that are talking and giving us some info about the helmet rather than like Dr. Fate himself explaining the helmet. So this to me, so far I like the Justice Society writing. It's a little bit more organic, a little bit better flow than the Black Adam writing. Raising hands, good. Okay. So now we're getting a little bit of a, what's their objective going to be? What's their tactic? If they can get him to say Shazam. All right. Entering Kandaki airspace. So this is also like, even the Justice Society coming over to take care of Black Adam, it's like an external power that's just coming into Kandak and doing something there. So it's like the Kandakis never get a direct say over their own business. It's always somebody else coming in and just making decisions for them or taking care of things for them. All right, Black Adam face to face with a statue of his own legend reminds me of Superman and him facing the statue in Heroes Park of his own sacrifice and things. This one, though, has a lot more historical depth to it. And he was a legend for something that didn't really result in the positive things you'd hope. Like, Superman successfully did save the world, and everybody kind of gives him credit for that. Teth Adam was a legend for defeating this ancient king, but they've still been oppressed since then. They haven't really gotten to, like, full freedom. All right, so I'm on with another skateboard distraction. It looks like even the same intergang guard. Gotta be annoyed with that kid. Ooh, those dumplings look good. I like the, again, the city's cool. It's got like an open marketplace kind of setting. Doing the hand signal. Yeah, the acting, not perfect. Oh, good takedown. All right. So here we've got a mother saving the son from almost getting hit, just like earlier in the flashback. We had the dad that would have wanted to save the strike from hitting the boy. Skateboard slap. All right, the hover down. Nice little move. That's a good bent stick. That's good. All right, visual gag. So I know that sort of visual gag with the making a fight moment into a visual gag for humor. I know not everybody likes that style. For me, this movie is kind of like trying to go in between. Like, it's not as goofy as some. It's not as goofy as Shazam. But it has been lacing some humor through all the different parts so far, really. All right, so we've got... This is the old visual call and musical callback to the Dollars trilogy. I think it's... if it's not directly the Ennio Morricone music from, I think, Fistful of Dollars, it was meant to sound very much like it. See, like, he already tried this catchphrase, like, right away in his first fight scene. I feel like it should have been he was resistant to the catchphrase for a little longer or something. Alright, so he can take out Inner Gang pretty easily, but now the Justice Society should be a little bit more of a challenge, we would think. Yeah. Oh, like Hawkman has his own logo on his seat. We're the anvil, you're the hammer. Oops, you dropped him. Another SH word. I didn't realize there was so many cuss words in here. Alright, so we get to see Justice Society action. So I like that we've had a few different beats to kind of get to know the personalities of the Justice Society. We see those two younger ones, like, left behind. So clearly Hawkman and Dr. Fate are the leads, the more experienced. But I like that we've gotten a little bit of the group dynamics there before we get them into the action. Now we're going to see a little bit of their powers and what they can do physically. 42 minutes in, we get the Justice Society's first action sequence. All right, so yep, they're right what I was saying before. Kondok is like, we've had enough of powerful people coming in and doing stuff to us. Okay, so it's kind of like the more brutal approach. Black Adam, that's what they're cheering on. Justice Society's. So Amanda Waller being involved with this group is kind of a more... positive group working towards global stability with Amanda Waller, and then Amanda Waller of course also has the Suicide Squad, which is the more underground black ops kind of thing. So it's interesting, Amanda Waller has her hands in both types, the above board and the below, you know, incognito classified sort of versions of things. I kneel before no one. So that kind of goes to the idea of the oppression, where he's like, I refuse to be oppressed, I'm not going to bow down. So that makes him, yeah, it kind of fits with him being the champion of the oppressed people. All right, so Dr. Fate is able to create this whole vision. Something that's happened before in other DCEU movies, which is trying to show visions for our main characters. And it's showing something that they kind of have to grapple with in their character journey. It's happened before multiple times with Batman, Superman, Wonder Woman had a vision from Ares. Oh, and a punch to the face. So that wasn't a lot of character development for him. It was more of a distraction. Hawkman lands a pretty good punch there. A lot of slow head lifts for Black Adam. It's kind of a visual calling card of his so far. Just say Shazam. Yeah, now we've seen how fast Black Adam is, so we know you're not going to be able to do a frontal assault, I don't think. Hope that armor is pretty well... can protect against lightning. Alright, some aerial fighting here. Is that right? Seems like there could have been a little bit more there for the aerial fighting, a little bit maybe better shots for it, but I think there might be a little bit more coming still. So I like the Hawkman look so far. The wings actually seem believable, like it seems like those wings would have enough thrust to be able to like propel that movement and stuff. Oh, Hawkman still has his upper hand a little bit. It's impressive. Like, we've seen how brutal Black Adam and how powerful he is, but Hawkman's holding his own. It's pretty impressive. The old hand and up, that's a trope kind of in comic book movies. Definitely happened in the DCU a few times before. You see the hand first and then the head rises up. Smasher. Okay, so Adam Smasher. You can just call him Smasher. Alright, we get a first look at Cyclone's powers here. Very colorful. Nice greens and blues. And Cyclone can make a cyclone. But she's kind of doing some damage to the city here. Like, that's a very prized artifact that they were trying to restore and keep in good shape. And she's... oh, she's using the scaffolding as projectiles. A good visual look, though. Like, I can definitely imagine in a comic book... That would be a very colorful panel where you see her silhouette on one end and then the colors streaking behind. It's a good visual look for sure. But not a very precise power set though for Cyclone. Like she's just making a hole. Like it's not a very strategic, precise strike. Another glimpse from Dr. Fate. Okay, so Dr. Fate's going to help us pull some of the things together. He's an insightful character. All right, Dr. Fate, see if you can hold him down. Somewhat. Good visual look, too. So Justice Society has some cool visuals in... The visual design I'm very pleased with for the Justice Society. Like, I think Hawkman looks good. Dr. Fate's, the way they're representing his powers and the kind of glassiness, shininess is cool. Can multiply himself. Cyclone has the color streak. She hasn't done a lot yet. She just got the one Cyclone, but visually it looked good. Smasher, I haven't quite seen yet, but... slow-mo with the mace, Cyclone. Everybody's trying to converge on Black Adam there. If you think about it, so they're just really trying to contain him. You know, they're not trying to kill him, but... I forgot about that little gag. Zeroing in on your location, he's running totally the wrong way. Alright, now we get to see Atom Smashers, the way they've designed this. Alright, that's cool with the smoke behind him, dust. Oh, okay. Atom Smashers looking big in the background. Kind of a cool way to bring him in. It's like as he was coming from that street behind, he started to fill up like the whole street. All right, so Adam Smasher is going to be comedic relief even within action scenes. So I know some people might not like that, but they're kind of letting you know, like, yep, there's some characters that are going to have the comedy even amidst some of the action. So here's the kind of the false victory. So they're thinking, yeah, we did it, but not quite that easy. So it's interesting here that the Kandaki people are like cheering for Black Adam. You know, they're like, oh, holy cow, our legend might be back. So that makes an interesting dynamic that the people there... Oh, I feel bad for that artifact. How old was that? So now it'd be like the Justice Society came, Cyclone was making a mess, Atom Smasher just crushed a relic of theirs. So it's like, yeah, the people are going to be cheering for Black Adam, and they're going to be like, what the heck is the Justice Society doing here? So that tracks. It's also kind of like a thing where Justice Society needs to think a little bit about what they're doing, because they're just coming in feeling like they have the right to be wherever they want, not really thinking about the local dynamics and stuff. And really, before now, like, Black Adam was only a danger to the Intergang folks that were shooting at him. Like, Black Adam was not really a danger to anybody else. Ancient ruins amidst the city. So again, kind of you get the juxtaposition of the ancient and the modern. I like the continuing dynamics between Hawkman and Dr. Fate. It's one of my favorite parts of the movie. But right there, it's like they've been through a lot together, but they're also like both frustrated with how that went. Yeah, so now you can start to actually get some info and some perspective from the locals instead of just flying in and doing your own thing. Yeah, so this, I think, gets at some of the like metatextual stuff where there are parts of the world that might feel this way about like the U.S. superpower or some European powers where it's kind of like you ignore the plight of these other parts of the world, but then if something gets your attention, then you fly in with all this power. Not always being mindful of the local situations or listening to what the local folks need or want. So from that point of view, I kind of appreciate this movie for bringing that kind of dynamic and thing. Oh boy. But yeah, I think it's a superhero movie, but it's using superheroes and this sort of story to comment on real things and real dynamics internationally. All right, we get the skateboarding again. I guess it's all right. I was just trying to think about the skateboarding and whether I like it or not. I guess it's fine. I don't think the skateboarding is actually the problem. I think it's a little bit more about the acting for Amon. So, yeah, they got two things to deal with. The Crown and Black Adam. Like, the both of the powers that are now woken up at the same time or kind of brought on the scene. So here we have like different versions of the legend or different interpretations of the legend, which is kind of how that happens. One version of the legend was that the champion was so powerful that it, you know, could be destructive. Sabak, though, also having some destructive power. All right, so I wonder how Black Adam interpreted the stuff that just happened. So he was trying to reflect on that, got interrupted. The whole fight scene, but he's still reflecting on. If we think it's the kid from before, it was like he wanted to free the slaves, he wanted to free his people. So we're assuming that would still be his goal, that he would still want to free the people. But he has to sort of figure out who the people are now. Oh, so she's going to bring the two different versions right to him. Okay. Okay, so now she's asking, like, what's your goal right now? Ooh, okay, so this is a little bit part that we didn't quite see the first time. We saw this, but we didn't actually see the frying of the dude with the crown. Good music here. I like this. So now it's kind of like different versions of the story, and you can frame it different ways. So from one point of view, is it actually like that the champion was the violent one there? Okay, so if you're trying to track, does this match with Shazam? Not exactly, but you can kind of stretch a little bit, bend over backwards a little bit. You can make it work where they did give him the powers. They did say he was unworthy. It doesn't quite look like exactly the way that Shazam might have said it, but it's close enough that I think if you want to make it work, you can make it work. If you want to nitpick it or have it contradict, you can have it contradict. For me, I basically just think, like, yeah, in Shazam, the wizard did mention that powers had been given to somebody before, he was unworthy, so just at that level, it's good enough. Okay, so now we're kind of getting, like, yep. The kid in the flashback, the prologue, seemed like he was going to be very heroic. This Black Adam version, you know, said I never was a hero. So he'll have to make a decision in this movie about whether to free the people or what kind of stance he wants to take. So they're trying to set up some a kind of key character choice that has to happen for the main character. I don't think it'll work perfectly, but they're at least making a reasonable attempt at it. Oh, Ishmael. So we know not to trust him. So this is called dramatic irony, where the audience knows more than the characters do in the story. And, okay. So Zaman that didn't know. Yep. Nice clang. So he sounds like the crown's in there. There it is. With a cyborg comic. Interesting. Okay, so that, I hadn't really thought about that before, but that seems about another theme here where he's saying, I'm going to teach you some history that you might not have known. Is the theme of reinterpretations of history, or that history has multiple points of view, multiple versions of history. So there it looks like the uncle or whatever might be shot. Oh, trap door there. Now, so Ishmael can't fit through there, I'm guessing, otherwise he would have followed him. Good shot. Justice Society down below, Black Adam hovering up above. Just a nice visual. That could be a comic book panel right there. Forgot about that little gag. So Smasher's eating a bit, and Dr. Fate just wipes it away. So they're trying to reason with him now. They tried to fight him, but now they're just going to try to talk to him. Nice little line there. Like, one is out of time, but the other one is out of place. Like the Justice Society, this is not their culture, not their country. The woman is the voice of reason here. Adrian is saying, let's not fight again. Didn't help anything. That has got to be terrifying for a mom to hear your son is in a building with Inner Gang and the Crown and knowing that he's in danger like that. Okay, so that moment with the boulder is a direct reference back to it, a meaningful moment. That's nice. Linkages from the earlier scene. Yeah, like, even just in stuff like this where there's no lines, Amon just seems, like, too casual and stuff. Like, he's doing the physical motions that he needs to do, but he doesn't make it believable to me in the physical acting here. But the stairs are interesting. This setting is an interesting dynamic for this scene, with the multiple levels, and it's visually interesting. And again, I think the cinematography has been good pretty much in every scene so far. Like, it all looks richly colored, richly textured, good depth, good framing. Alright, so that, I didn't like that one. Like, Amon should still be, like, freaked out and fearing for his life, and he's still in the building with Inner Gang. Like there's a guy right next to him. So Amon is just too, like, casual, like, cool, thanks for grabbing me, yeah, don't be careful. Like, so that one I think was trying to be humor, but, like, that one did not work for me. And now he's supposed to be tough and, like, talking back, and that doesn't seem very believable, yeah. Alright, I'll have to... As you all know, I like to be positive. I try to look for the things that I can enjoy and appreciate about the movie, so I'm going to try to reduce the comments about Amon's acting. Alright, that was alright. So, okay, so I get it. So the Black Adam doesn't know this culture, doesn't know this time, so he's literally just picking things up like a child. Like, I heard somebody else say this, I'll say it. So I get that part of it. I can buy into that. That it's like Black Adam only knows what he has directly heard or what he can directly observe. That fist reminds me of the Spirit of Detroit. Or next to the Spirit of Detroit has the fist hovering downtown Detroit. It's cool. Also a working class city that has kind of undergone some forms of oppression and manipulation. So. All right. This city has already been through quite a bit. Man. Justice Society Jet versus the Skybikes. Another SH word. Man, there's a lot. Alright, so they're both looking for Amon. Oh, so I noticed that there. So Black Adam doesn't care what happens to the Inner Gang guys, and Hawkman actually just grabbed one before he fell down to his death. I just noticed the Inner Gang, like, Skybikes have this blue light kind of in them, and actually Atom Smasher has a similar blue light in his suit and in his kind of chest plate. It's a little bit of a mixed visual signal of that blue color being on the good team and the bad team. But Cyclone's colors are quite unique and they look good. Okay, that got me. Adam Smasher's hand got up and nailed Hawkman. Still haven't totally found out how to use Cyclone's powers. Like, it seemed like she was winding up and was starting to do something there, but then it kind of, I didn't notice it going to fruition, and then she was just kind of reacting to the Adam Smasher thing. So... I like Cyclone's visual look. I like the actress playing it. I like her behind-the-scenes sort of stuff, but they haven't quite found the best way to use her powers yet. We'll have to see if they can do that later in the movie. Ooh. Just did a skybike explosion. Alright, here's Uncle Karim. He's been shot in the gut. I like that too, Doc. It's like he's doctor face. Not that kind of doc. That's a good one. So quite a bit of this humor is working for me. Not all of it, but quite a bit. Stay away from electricity is a good line. Eternium levels. Oh, okay, so the blue. Oh, yeah, that makes sense. They're Eternium powered. That's why they have that blue thing, and that's why they can fly so fast and effectively. Black Adam's just rubbing against the ground. All right, so this is a new setting. This is very green. It said they were speaking Mandarin. How far did they go? Found him. Oh, nice little, okay. Tricky editing there. Black Adam opened it, but it's not him, not his that had it. I'm on into the Ishmael's got him. Alright, not gonna say anything. Okay, we're in a truck going away. Yeah, it's still in the desert, sandy, kind of dirt dry area. Another good Dr. Fate. I like the representation here. A little bit shiny, a little bit blurry. Looks good, though. So, I mean, that was a joke at a human being's expense. Like, the human being dying was basically the punchline of the joke. That's maybe taking it a little bit far. But I know they're trying to do this thing where Black Adam is this anti-hero, not a hero kind of thing. But all right, I like the Justice Society dynamics, I think, all the way around. Just their interactions, I think, are well written. The actors are good. In another world, if this had been a big hit movie, there might have been a Justice Society kind of follow-up. But as DCU fans, we know very well the, like, what could have been, you know, feeling. Aerokinesis. Nanobots in her bloodstream. Okay, so this is a little bit of explanation of her powers, because, you know, we don't get origin movies for all these characters individually, but we get these moments where they each kind of get to say a little bit about their background. That was a little bit about Cyclones. Adam Smasher's still looking for where he fits in. He's had a couple mistakes already. No point in dwelling in the past. Okay, that could be a possible theme. Let's see if we can track that one. A lot of this movie is about how the past informs the future, or parallels between the past and the present. Thoughts should be focused on things you can change. Yeah, Dr. Fate is a good character to be talking about this, because he has this vision and perspective that other people don't have. Very comforting to say to the mom that we will save your son. Alright. Black Adam. So we've had a couple Black Adam entrances through the walls. See if they have the rule of threes. There'll be a third one coming at some point. Whoa. Adriana is taking it out on them. But, alright, a little bit of acknowledgement there. Black Adam's willing to learn that if you actually capture the enemy, you can question them. But Black Adam's going to do it pretty intensely. Good shot. Looks good. Red to blue in the sky there. It's stormy all of a sudden, which probably doesn't happen a lot there, but it looks good for the visual. Drop both of them. All right, Hawkman, there for the rescue. So, I like Hawkman. Just hit Hawkman's frustration with the other characters, like Adam Smasher, Dr. Fate, Black Adam for sure. It's just funny that he's... And there are people like that, right? There's people that are just always exasperated with others. Adam's kind of right. I like Hawkman's his mask and helmet has a nice silhouette to it with the beak and the kind of ear wings coming out. It's a good job too by the actor for Hawkman. Again, that's Aldis Hodge. Like, he brings good gravity to the character. If it wasn't a good actor in that Hawkman suit, it could look silly, but in this case, I think he acts it well enough and strong enough with enough conviction that it actually sells it and looks good rather than silly. I like the red. The red pants and the red inside the wings looks good, too. I'm not sure. They're fighting inside the apartment. I guess the apartment was pretty much already trashed from the earlier stuff, so what's a little bit more? But it's kind of brutal to be doing this inside their home. DC posters are all getting smashed up. Batman figure. Okay. So, I was wondering if there's going to be a point to this, and it did show, yep, find the crown. Life is the only path to death. Adam Smasher said that right to Cyclone. I don't know if it's good to tell Black Adam that their plan is to bury him forever. Okay, so now they have the crown, but they don't have him on, so it's kind of like you achieve one objective, but then you get something else that's another wrench thrown into it. I like this, though, that Black Adam and them are at least on, like, speaking terms, and they're realizing there's this bigger challenges of the crown and getting Amon. I wish Amon was more likable, but I definitely don't blame the mom for wanting her son back. It's also fairly common in the DCEU that women characters kind of try to speak reason into the men. The men sometimes get their egos involved, or they get their masculinity out of joint or whatever, so. But yeah, it's Black Adam, not naturally fit for a team, so this will be interesting to see how it goes. continuing, for me, the pattern of the Justice Society interactions all working pretty well. Well acted, well written, put in interesting settings. This one's on the bridge of the jet. And now we get a little bit of development to that vision that Fate saw. And Hawkman's curious to know, because he knows Dr. Fate can see stuff like that. And Hawkman even has a suspicion. Is it something to Hawkman? Okay, that time we could kind of tell that there was something impaled through Hawkman. Dr. Fate's keeping it close to the chest at first. Yeah, he probably knows, like, you can't reveal too much of what you see. There's still time to change the future. There's Black Adam. Oh, yeah, so I kind of expected when you see Black Adam walking in that mine site that it was going to just cut right to Black Adam inside there, but they didn't. We're going to get to that later, I guess. We're actually still with the Justice Society. So yeah, that was a little bit the editing flow. Usually that sort of moment you'd shift from them to Black Adam. Wait, Black Adam's with them. So what were they seeing? Oh, it was just Black Adam walking through the ship. Still a little bit weird. Like, they look at Black Adam separately walking through the ship, but then the next scene is actually them together, where it seemed like we were going to shift over to a scene with different characters, but... Alright, so this one is almost like a... It's almost like a montage version of an action scene. Like, rather than being in the action scene for real, we're almost just sort of, like, seeing it like, yep, yeah, we've already know that Black Adam can take out Inner Gang. So we don't really need to have it fully developed as a scene. We can kind of just cut through to the result of the action, which is this right here. Oh, they're having Adriana come in with them. I guess she's armed. There's Amon. So, only the mom, I think, would actually consider, like, this trade. I think all the rest of them would be like, no, we're not going to give that crown. It is a little bit odd that she was able to come to this part of the mission. Maybe she just insisted because it's her son. But... Yep, so here's, like, Black Adam's like, I'm not really part of your team. Like, not your son, not your country, not your decision. So that... Yeah, they've been building that sort of theme throughout the whole movie. Like, who actually gets to decide, who gets to have the agency, the initiative to make these decisions. And Black Adam's starting to kind of put it together that, like, okay. Now, this stuff, though, could affect Beyond Kondak, but in this moment, Black Adam's like, yeah, let them make their decisions. Instead of these interlopers making all the decisions for them. So she's still grappling with the fact that this was Ishmael, who she thought she was working with earlier. Alright, so it's kind of like, who's going to be the leader of Kondak? Is it the champion or is it the king? Ruth died, you wept like a baby. Death is the only path to life. He reversed it. Alright, we're going to slow-mo here. Key moment. Bullet coming right for Amon. Black Adam. All right, Black Adam's fast enough, and so that tracks with what we saw earlier, especially the opening scene with how fast Black Adam was. Faster than a bullet. But really, I think it was basically needing to distract Black Adam for a moment. Oh, wow. Okay, so Hawkman's protecting Adriana. Adam Smasher's protecting Cyclone. And Black Adam is blasting everybody else. Now, that's similar to the blast that happened in the prologue at the castle, or at the temple. Is that big old blast of explosion from Black Adam. So again, it's like the past is now coming into the present. Good use of slow-mo, though, to see how all of that key stuff was happening. We're connected to the characters, hoping that they're all right. But Ishmael was able to put on the crown, was the other thing that we saw in the slow-mo. So they think that Ishmael's dead and that the crown would just be laying around. That's what they would infer from that blast. I'm not so sure. Okay, he is fried. He's holding the crown. Haven't seen this for a little while, but I know it's going to happen later. I thought it actually kind of already happened here, but it's going to happen later with the body, I think. Death is the only path to life. Okay. Yep. Remembering now. So Black Adam looking at the statue. This is the third or fourth time. So I guess it's kind of like supposed to be like Black Adam thinking about what role he's going to have in this current time. The thing that's tough is, like, I love moments and visual moments where, like, the main character has to make a big decision or, like, is debating with himself or something. But the times that Black Adam's been looking at the statue, there wasn't like a clear decision point that he had to make like in that moment. So we can't, as an audience, we can't quite like get into his mind. We just know like, okay, he's being solemn and deliberative and he's looking at his statue, but we don't know what he's thinking in that moment. Now here we're going to flashback again. There we see Dwayne Johnson's face, that The Rock is playing the dad, who we didn't quite see as clearly before. Now we're getting another fuller picture of stuff. We've seen this stuff before, but now we're seeing a little bit more context to it, a little bit more of what was happening nearby. Boy disappears. The dad is not sure what that means. He was brought to the Council of Wizards. He's given the powers of Shazam. It looks a little bit different. Okay, so the champion was the boy at first. He was a successful champion for a bit. That would contribute to the legend. But then the king and the powers, they retaliated against the boy's family. That's brutal. So his mom's dead. His dad is dying. So the boy as champion... Oh, yep, there he is. So he looks a little different. Looks like a... Could be related to The Rock, but it's not actually The Rock. Okay, so the boy is going to give his Shazam powers to the dad. So this is another moment of a reveal or a twist for the audience, was that the dad is now Black Adam. It was the boy at first, but now it's the dad. Works all right. I could kind of, the first time I was watching it, I could kind of tell that it was The Rock. But I didn't put it all together, like exactly how this happened. But now, not even a moment later, the boy's killed. Jeez. But man, that boy, if you think about it, not a great actor, but he was very heroic as a character. Saving the old man, trying to save the old man, becoming the champion, trying to inspire revolution. And then saving his own dad, even. That would be a lot of a... That would be quite the burden to carry, though, as the dad. You're, like, Black Adam, like, no parent wants their kid to give their life for the parent. Like, that's not the way that's supposed to work. So now it'd be like, okay, he wasn't looking at the statue to think about himself and his own role. He was looking at the statue, remembering his son, missing his son, thinking maybe my son would be a better champion, is more deserving of these powers than he is. All right, so I've got to revise my opinion of that. He's remembering his son. But in the moment, in the earlier moments when we were seeing him contemplate the statue, we didn't know that that's what he was doing. Comes down to earth. He's actually walking instead of floating, so that's a nice gesture. Kind of a peace offering, olive branch to Hawkman here. Again, the cinematography is good. Good framing, good. The background depth is really rich. So he's basically pledging he's not going to say Shazam. Oh, he's saying Shazam, yep. Okay, so they think that they've got the crown back, and they think that Ishmael's dead. So they think everything's wrapped up, so he's relinquishing his powers. Gotcha. Task Force X Black Site, secret location. So this is Amanda Waller kind of connection, right? Like, Amanda Waller knows the Justice Society, kind of manages the Justice Society. She also knows the hidden sites. She knows where to put things in a hole and throw away the hole. Now one thing. So the reveal, I could give it like a B+ for the reveal that it wasn't the son, it's the father. It gives more depth to the Black Adam's, what he's going through, what he's carrying with him. But this part here, where they're putting Black Adam away, but they're going to have to get him back again, was to me very obvious. Like, you could see it coming a mile away that, yeah, we're putting him down here, but we're going to have to get him back out, or he's going to have to get back out, because you just know, oh, we're an hour 26 minutes in, there's clearly going to be an Act 3 that is going to need Black Adam to be involved in and fight in. So for me, this was one, like, as soon as they're going here, they're putting in, I'm just already thinking, well, he's going to have to get out. So that one was one that was not really twisty, and even like they tried to make it really cool later, when Black Adam is released. And for me, it was just like, yeah, of course, we knew this was coming. Jennifer Harcourt, from The Suicide Squad, minor character, larger character in Peacemaker television series. So we have some connection to Shazam, for sure. We have some connection to The Suicide Squad and Peacemaker. Or sorry, Amelia Harcourt. I don't know where I got Jennifer from. Oh, it's Jennifer Holland is the actress, and she's playing Amelia Harcourt. That is a pretty clever way, though, to hold him where he cannot possibly say the word Shazam. And they got quite a few people down there. Holy moly. 2, 3, wow. Forgot that there were so many other people locked down there. Wonder who they all are. Oh, yeah, that's cool. The nose of the jet go down as a submersible and then reattach. That's kind of cool. I think I missed that one the first time. So this is cool. We saw earlier how big of a superhero fan he is. This is a nice, subtle use of Cyclone's powers. Fluttering the cape. Although they didn't show like a perfect like we knew she was fluttering it, but they didn't really show the flutter, actually, now that I look at it. But we know Amon is a huge superhero fan, so yeah, that probably is meaningful. He looks a little bit old for like doing the cape, you know, dress-up play thing, but he seemed to like it. But, you know, I've got kids of my own, and I've seen them go through the different ages, and now they're up to 11, almost 12 years old. And the really fun putting on a cape and pretending kind of thing was more like ages 4 to 7, not really so much like Amon, who's more like 12 or 13 or something. All right, Dr. Fate's getting some premonitions here. All right, we're going into Act 3 here. They have not. Mission accomplished. Okay, that's also kind of a reference to the United States invasion of Iraq, which is one of the Middle Eastern countries that got oppressed, or you know, when we were exerting U.S. influence there for almost two decades. George W. Bush saying mission accomplished. Wasn't really accomplished, just like here. It's not really accomplished. Oh, all the seats have the Hawkman logo on it. Okay, so this is Hawkman's jet that he just uses for Justice League business. So here's another one. Now, this is a story from the Royal Air Force, the British kind of history. But again, it's like that history still is informing the present. Just like in Kondak, their legends, their history is still informing the present. The world changes, yep. We've seen the technological advances, that kind of thing. But we're also seeing that there's some stuff that's the same. And like not wanting your friend to die is something that's probably been a universal truth for thousands of years. All right, so the professor is going to put it together. Life is the only path to death, and Ishmael said death is the only path to life. Rock of finality. Okay, I turn it upside down. Here's what we got. Oh, there he is. Oh, I like that upside down. So just like they had to turn the crown upside down, it's the mirror world, the downside. They started with an upside down shot to get us here. Now that looks kind of like a devil character. So this is in the DCEU. We have the demon. I guess it's like a demon council. Yeah, it's the evil reflection of the Council of Wizards, basically. Savak. And again, it's kind of an upside down framing in the underworld, so to speak. So this works well as a villain, dark mirror kind of villain to Black Adam or the powers of Shazam is Savak. Now, I also just noticed that pentagram kind of scarring on Savak's chest, which is kind of like the king had back in the old days. All right, ratchet up some action here. We haven't had some for a little while. The king has returned. He's going for the throne of Kondak. So before it was Black Adam emerging and then getting shot by Intergang and having some air warfare. This time it's Savak emerging and the Justice Society doing the air warfare. So it is like a black mirror, dark reflection of stuff we've seen before. Which means we know it's not going to go very well for the Justice Society. Oh, there's that market. Yeah, I knew that was going to come back. Just obliterated the open air market. All right, so in terms of character design, Black Adam is fine. You know, it's the Rock. The Rock looks good. He's an action star. The suit is good. Like I said, I've liked all of the visual designs of the Justice Society. Sabacc, so far, not looking great. Looks a little bit like television style. The red skin tone is a little bit weird. The motions are not quite as good as like the other characters' fluidity of motion and stuff. But I'll try to watch it a little bit further. I've only seen this a couple times. I saw it in theaters with my kids. We enjoyed it decently well. And then I've watched it once, like right after we got it on home video. But I haven't seen it since then, so I'll try to watch the Sabacc, see how visually good it looks. Nice use of the wings by Hawkman to stop his slide. Alright, Cyclone's getting into a little bit more of the action. So she's able to whip stuff and throw it with the Cyclone. And here she throws her partner, Smasher, towards him. Nice knee to the face. Alright, Justice Society's doing alright so far. Yeah, the face of Sabacc is a little... It's because he's not just an actor's face. It's like it's got the horns and... Fire powers. Oh yeah, we haven't seen Uncle Karim for a while. Okay. Nice little action here from Hawkman. So they're doing decently well so far. Oh, that's a nice little callback to the breath. We had the breath of Atom Smasher earlier, and now we got a close-up of the breath from Sabacc. I think the Sabacc character would like look good in a comic book, but it doesn't quite look as good to me as the other characters are. Alright, he's going for the throne. So they looked like they were doing decently well for a while, but it didn't last too long. So I like this too. Like, I like the feeling of history between these two, and then it really comes to payoff here. The plan comment, bad plan, better than no plan at all. That you get the feeling these guys care for each other, like the earlier scenes did a good job of setting up their dynamic. And now Dr. Fate makes his choice. So Dr. Fate's gonna do it. So this is... My daughter and I are reading Tuck Everlasting, which is a book I read in my childhood, which is about a family that can't die. And Mr. Tuck has these heartfelt moments of sort of saying, like, it's kind of a burden to always have this future in front of you, not be able to get out of it. Kind of just making a connection there with Dr. Fate, talking about it's actually kind of nice to be able to come to the end because he's always been able to see the future, almost burdened by seeing the future, and now he's like, I'm actually coming to the end, which can sometimes have this nice conclusion, closure to it. But that was one thing that worked really well for me in the movie, is the Justice Society interactions and Dr. Fate and what Dr. Fate's doing here. It was very effective for me, and I remember talking to my kids afterward too. Like, for them, we all got choked up on this coming up here. So they were subtle building this up, but Pierce Brosnan did a good job. He's not the main character, but they did enough to make this a really meaningful moment coming up here. Using powers well that we've seen before, that he can be in multiple places at once or project himself in multiple places at once. Nice use of the reflection on the helmets here. Oh yeah, another one. Kind of cool dynamics here coming out of the helmets. Okay, so Dr. Fate can also reach out like he did before. He can reach out in space and time to communicate. Yep, turns out that was pretty short-sighted to lock him up. So Fate's going to give him a fighting chance, but he's still... got a ways to go to actually get out. Again, I like the cinematography. This, so what before was like dust and sand and smoke and stuff, now in the air is like a lot of these water droplets and stuff, which makes sense in this underground setting. But they do a good job of filling up the frame with dynamic energy and particles and stuff. Fate laying it out. You gotta make the choice now. He's been, you know, Black Adam's been gathering info, gathering perspectives. Now it's like decision time. Poor guards, though, are in the way. Not their fault, but... ouch. Some good impacts here. Even though I feel bad for those guards, it was actually some pretty good choreography and good shots here. Like, their faces and their necks and stuff really did seem like they were getting hit. Better than Sabak. Sabak's physicality is not quite as good. Ooh. Alright, they're even shooting him. It's interesting, I didn't really notice this before, but it is a good parallelism here of Sabak trying to fight through the Fates, and at the exact same time that Black Adam's trying to fight through the guards. But getting into the waters, he still needs to be able to get to somewhere he can speak. Feel bad for Hawkman, though. His friend is in there. Cool shot going up the water. Pulls the tube out. That tube was actually down. His throat pretty good. So Fate is slowing down Sabak, but really can't stop him. Alright, Fate's wall is down. Which lets Hawkman in. So this is another moment where the audience is going to kind of expect one thing and then there's going to be a little twist to it. So far, it's a mixed bag on the effectiveness of those twists, but let's see how this one goes. Maybe it's more Sabak's movement that is the problem than his design, I'm not sure. Now the sad part here is that the Justice Society comes in to be able to witness this. Good music, good pacing here with the editing to let the emotions actually hit the audience. Ouch, kicks the helmet down. I like that helmet. I have a Funko Pop from each DCEU movie, and the one I chose here was Dr. Fate. Figured he made the sacrifice here, and I liked the helmet design and stuff, that it was the only chance to get him. But I like a lot of the characters. I really like all the Justice Society characters. And I like Uncle Kareem and Adriana. Alright, triple punch coming. And does not land. Alright. So we gotta have our Act 3 hordes of villains. So it's in this case, it's Sabak raising the dead. And... now Uncle Kareem is here. This is what I was alluding to before, of Uncle Kareem's going to show his bravery and stuff. Instead of sitting in the van, he's actively coming out and busting some zombies. Or mummies. Or undead. And just like before, he was singing in the van. Now he's got the music going as he comes out of the van. And again, in terms of the history repeating in the present, it's going to be a kid trying to inspire the legions. There's a lot of stuff on paper that like should work in this movie. And for some reason, it doesn't fully land with me as good as it should have. It's fine, though. Like, I don't have a lot of big problems with the movie. It just doesn't quite grab me to the same level as some of the other ones. One more flashback here with the family. Oh, so this was when he's... It's almost like he kind of had a near-death experience and was imagining being reunited with his family, but not time yet. Oh, yeah, this is the market. Oh, okay, I'm not going to comment on the kid actor. I'm not going to comment on the kid actor. He's doing his best. Get the hand signal. Oh, they don't need a hero. They need to be free. That's in... Yeah, it's like the people themselves have to work for the freedom. It's like, you know, it's one of the critiques of superheroes is that people will wait around for like one person to do everything or to be the savior complex kind of thing. That's not how I view superheroes. I view superheroes as telling morality tales and giving inspiration, and that the inspiration can spread to a lot of people. So it's not about waiting for one Superman to come or something. It's about empowering the whole population, and that's kind of what this movie's getting at as well. And it goes right back to the very beginning, too, of the child saying, like, there's so many of us. At that point, it was the slaves. Like, there's so many slaves, we could rise up and overpower our oppressors. Of course, easier said than done, but... Oh, boy. So Sabaka's taking out that champion statue, and that's a good way to have the return of Black Adam. Black Adam's actually saving, lifting up his son there, symbolically. Alright, this time Adam Smasher's actually saving a relic instead of crushing one. Sabak versus Black Adam. All right, they're on the same page now. All right, we got a reddish, kind of orange flame type of powers from Sabak, and then Black Adam's got his blue lightning kind of deal. Knee to the face. Of course, equally matched there, because they're kind of just the dark mirror of one another. But it is nice that the Adriana and Karim are fighting, and Amon is bringing the reinforcements. I don't like the skateboard look. I know the skateboard is his thing, so it makes sense on paper, but in terms of the look of it, just rolling around on the skateboard looks a little lame to me. I like the crowd coming in, though. This is a good act three for this movie, of these folks who've been oppressed throughout history are rising up. All right, they're a little bit on the nose about the hero, not a hero thing. But... So Hawkman gets an impalement through, and Sabak's going to return the favor. Bam, just like we saw in the vision. Right there, that's the shot from the vision, clearly impaled. And there we go. Helmet falls. That was not for real. There we go. Love it. Love it. Now that was one where, as an audience member, I did not see it coming. Like, it makes sense now, and it's great. You're not going to have Hawkman die and Dr. Fate die. And Dr. Fate was saying, I found a way to save you. But as an audience member, that one did surprise me. I did not see it coming a mile away, like the Black Adam release from his confinement thing. I guess I'm still waiting for Cyclone to have, like, her awesome moment, but... So now Hawkman and Black Adam working together is nice to see. Hawkman honoring his friend, Dr. Fate, is good to see. So a lot of good stuff coming together here in the climax. And he gets the catchphrase right, the timing right, and he splits him in half. Pretty good yell from Dwayne Johnson there. Nice. So vicariously, the audience can kind of feel a sense of celebration through the crowd here. So it makes us also feel that moment where we can celebrate as well. But, yeah. In the celebration, though, we realize we lost one of them, one of our friends. Very nice, though, right? Hawkman, Black Adam, been just rivals at each other's throats the whole time. Now they're offering a hand to get up. A little bit of respect. A smile from Black Adam there. Yeah, nice little homage to Dr. Fate there. So Hawkman realizes that Dr. Fate saved him. And Dr. Fate also reached out to Black Adam, so it's a nice way to honor him. Yes, yeah, so Cyclone didn't really... I didn't realize, actually, that she didn't quite get, like, her moment to really shine. I mean, she was part of the action, but she was never like, oh, that was an amazing Cyclone thing that really changed the calculus of the fight or anything like that. So maybe that's a slight critique. I liked the look of the Cyclone character. I think the actress was good. But in terms of writing, they maybe needed to just give her one more moment that could have been a good use of her powers or really changed the dynamic of the fight. Adriana was a good woman character who did have some moments that were central to the plot and development in the movie. A little bit more male-dominated than I remembered, though. That kind of looks like Mark Ruffalo. I don't know if I said that Adam Smasher's name, did I? Noah Centineo? Maybe I did. And Marwan Kanzari was playing Ishmael and Sabak. I think the actor was good for Ishmael and Sabak. I just think the design or maybe the physics of the fights with Sabak were not great. All right, so Black Adam had one decision, now another decision. They're looking for a leader. He could take the throne. Sabak, you know, wanted to be king, the new king of Khandaq. Total comic book shot right there, throne shot. And The Rock does well here. The knees are well positioned. It's good body language. Yeah, he does well kind of soaking up this moment with the camera move closing in. Oh, Amon. Okay, God. I guess it's just tough to deliver lines sometimes. Alright, so he makes his choice to actually smash the throne. Like, it's not a kingdom. It's not a new ruler. It's like we need to kind of break that pattern of being ruled. So instead of a hero, he's going to be a protector. Black Adam. Okay, that was it. I thought for a second there might be more, but yeah, so I really liked the Justice Society parts. They could have given a little bit more to Cyclone, now that I see it this time. But I really liked Dr. Fate's arc. I liked the Hawkman dynamics with everybody. Hawkman's strong personality. I like how it rubbed against Black Adam, and I liked his strong connection, but also sarcasm and stuff with Dr. Fate. His mentorship and some frustrations with the younger members. Like, I liked all that part of it. I like the setting. the story itself, I also think was pretty good. Like, it makes sense with your first Black Adam movie to kind of do the dark mirror as the villain. And it ties in with, like, I like it when the origin story and the first villain are linked together. So, like, the villain here is actually rooted in the origin story for Black Adam. I like that, too, with, like, Man of Steel, that it was, like, General Zod was the first villain because he's tied to Krypton, which is the origin of Superman. I like that better than, like, Superman the movie, where you have the origin of Superman, but then your villain is just Lex Luthor, who's just actually a different character coming from a different angle. So I like parts of the story decisions. I liked the production design. Cinematography, it was actually better than I remembered. Sabak's physicality was not great, and then some of the acting, and Amon, his buddy sort of role with Black Adam, was the part that didn't quite work for me. I think that's really what kept it from being like a top tier sort of movie for me. But I think it's fine. I think it makes sense. There's some nice commentary about not being oppressed by not just flying in as a superpower and just exerting your influence, but actually trying to listen to the people and lifting the people up to be their own heroes. So there's quite a bit of good stuff here that I liked. There's always something that wasn't quite working 100% that kept it from being like the top tier for me. But it's a movie that I put kind of in the middle of my DCEU rankings. It's fine. A lot of the humor worked, as you could kind of tell. A lot of it I thought was well done, got me laughing, was well placed. Not all of it, of course. It's hard to get 100% of the humor right or to work for everybody. So there were parts that I could have done without the humor, but overall, it's a movie, you know, didn't mind rewatching it. I'll probably rewatch it again. I know my kids like it even more than I do. Actually, my oldest son, when we first watched this, I think he just watched it over and over again, probably saw it 5 or 6 times. Now, this is a bit of a sad moment here. So it's good to have the Amanda Waller back in. She's like, hey, you have my attention to Black Adam, a new power on the scene. So, of course, Amanda Waller wants to keep tabs on it. You don't want to stay in my prison. So. All right, so she's basically trying to exert her force and saying, you gotta stay in Kandak. Don't mess around in other places. So Black Adam's basically like, you're not gonna control me. Now, some people had a problem that Amanda Waller could call in Superman, but to me, it's like Superman probably would have done this on his own anyway. Like, he probably also wants to check out this superpowered being. Get a read on him. Nice little walk through the smoke. Silhouette. Very recognizable. It's been a while since anybody made the world this nervous. Like, Superman himself made the world this nervous. That's a nice line. And Henry Cavill looking good with the spit curl. We should talk. Neither one of them is very talkative, but... Now, I say that's sad because a lot of us were hoping that this might be leading to another Superman movie. I didn't even need it to be Superman like versus Black Adam. I was just glad to see Henry Cavill in the suit and that maybe there's going to be some more Henry Cavill Superman, but wasn't to be. My view on it is that this movie was not successful enough to warrant what they might have had planned as a follow-up, which they had talked to Henry Cavill about being Superman again. To me, the irony is there are a lot of Zack Snyder fans, fans of Batman Superman, Zack Snyder Justice League, and fans of Henry Cavill as Superman, a lot of them were actually boycotting this movie and were like saying, don't go watch it because it's not in the right tone or it's not following Zack Snyder's original plan. To me, why that's ironic is because I think the fact that Black Adam didn't make more money is why we didn't get the Henry Cavill Superman that would have followed up from this. Because if they're planting seeds, if the, you know, the agents that are representing Henry Cavill and Dwayne Johnson, and if they're making sort of a production move, but then it doesn't make a big bank, that kind of cut them out at the knees. So another way to say it would be, in an alternative universe, if we had all really supported this movie and it made bank, then that probably would have led right into, yeah, what do you have to follow up with? Oh, you have Henry Cavill coming back as Superman, doing something there. Let's greenlight it. Let's make some more money. So for me, it's kind of like the people wanting Henry Cavill back as Superman but also boycotting Black Adam probably harmed their own cause. Now, I know it's counterfactual. I know you can't prove, you know, what would have happened. And if somebody didn't like Black Adam and didn't want to support it, you don't have to support it. It's, of course, your choice of what to watch. But to me, if you were not supporting this movie, then you can't really complain that they didn't follow up on the stuff that they had planned. Is it like, well, if you wanted them to follow up on that Henry Cavill tease and the Henry Cavill movie to come after, then you would need to support what they were doing with money, because money talks. But that is something else that's always the kind of drama that comes in with being a DCEU fan. So what can we do? The thing we can do is try to watch movies and try to find things to enjoy in them and go from there. So I hope you found some enjoyment in this, and thank you for listening, and thanks for hanging around with this DCEU. Next up would be the Shazam sequel, Fury of the Gods, and then we also have right after that The Flash, and then the last couple movies for the DCEU, so just a few left. Thanks for listening.